This is Eye on the Ball here on 1030 KVOI. Welcome to Hour 2 this Tuesday. I think we have Darren Weiner on the phone. Darren, are you there?
Steve, I'm here. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Where are you calling from? You're always jet-setting somewhere here and there.
I'm in Miami Beach today.
Oh, today? Yeah. That's kind of, isn't that home base for you?
It is.
Great.
Thankfully.
Like I said before the first hour ended, I am up for adoption, so whenever you're ready, you need a slacky a sports writer, give me a buzz. I'll move to Miami tomorrow.
It's a little more humid here than it is in Tucson. Well,
that's okay.
That's
okay. I love Miami. Miami's like one of the great places. Let me tell you, let me tell the people who I'm with, though, you're the president and CEO of Celebrity Advisors and called, luckily, I guess, the Jerry Maguire of real estate. Is that all over or just in Miami, South Beach, wherever?
All over. We're in 86 markets across the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean. And that moniker was, I guess, thankfully bestowed on me by Bloomberg. So I take it thankfully.
Yes, yes. We've known each other for probably 30 years. I think you were a student at U of A in the late 80s, early 90s. You were always hanging around the guys at the time. What did you want to be when you grew up? And, well, let's answer that question first.
What did I want to be? I always wanted to be a sports agent from the time I was probably about 12 years old. And everything that I did throughout high school and even throughout college was to get to that point. That's really why I went to U of A. And went there because Coach Olson gave me an opportunity to work on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lived with the guys. Actually, my roommate for 4 years was Wayne Womack. And, yeah, so interesting story, Steve. I actually became, the middle of my junior year, I became the youngest certified agent, I guess youngest sports agent in the country, but certified by the NBA Players Association. And because we were living together, Wayne and I had to get a letter before I applied from the NCAA stating that we could still live together, but we had to document that our expenses were being paid separately by each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting because fast forward all these years, I can't imagine something like that going on today and being approved.
Oh, yeah. No, because you're talking like early 90, 91 then, 92.
Yeah, I mean, I was certified back in 90.
Yeah. Can you reflect on your time at U of A? You had a great relationship with a lot of the guys here.
Yeah, no, I mean, probably some of the best years of my life. It was back then, you know, we had pretty much an NBA squad. And I remember the first day of, it wasn't even practice, it was before official practices started. And I remember, I mean, walking in the gym and, you know, Sean Elliott was the player of the year that year.
Yeah.
He would be. He ended
89.
Up being that. This was 88, 89.
Yeah. Him.
And Brian Williams actually transferred and was sitting out that year for Maryland.
Right.
A player that you might remember. I don't know if your listeners remember, but maybe one of the best players I've ever seen at that level who actually didn't play at U of A.
Could I guess?
Sure.
Orlando Vega?
You got it.
Wow, because I didn't see him play. He never played.
Yeah. He. My understanding is he went back to, I think he was from
Puerto Rico,
D.C.
He's Puerto Rico.
Well, originally. And then he went back home before official practice started. I think it was at that time. It was October 15th.
Yeah.
And never came back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he maybe saw how difficult it was to crack the lineup, but you're right, he was very talented. And back then, you know, transfers were, I don't want to say common, but they happened a lot.
Well, he ended up transferring. He was, I think, back then there was Proposition 48, and he was maybe the only or the last, certainly the last, I believe, but maybe the only Prop 48
that
player that you know, Coach Olson ever took.
Right.
And, you know, we had on that team alone, it was Brian Williams, Sean, like I said, Anthony Cook was a first-round pick that year.
Sean Rooks, I think, was here.
Sean was there, Judd Bushler, Kenny Lofton was the point guard.
Uh-huh. That was great. They were number one most of the year that first 88-89.
Yep.
Yeah. All it took was a shot from Anderson Hutt, I think it was, in Vegas or – from Vegas in Denver. I can't Denver?
In Denver at McNichols Arena, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you were what? You were a team manager at the time?
Yeah, I was a manager then. It was interesting because I had told Coach Olson when I went out there that, you know, I was up front and said I wanted to be a sports agent. I didn't know that it was going to be while I was still a student. And, you know, like I said, he gave me the opportunity to work there. Forever I'll be grateful. It really, you know, set my career in motion. And prior to getting out there, and I actually interned for David Stern and Steve Mills, who's now the president of the New York Knicks, was working at the NBA League office. I'd worked for the two of them at the NBA draft right before I got out there. So that was the year that Tom Tolbert and Kerr were drafted.
Right. So. You were Josh Pastner before Josh Pastner was Josh Pastner. True, because you were doing all this at a very young age and knew exactly what you wanted to do. So did you, I think, as I kind of said this yesterday, excuse me, that you were a sports agent for some time before you became what you became now, or what you became now?
Yeah, so, I did it for altogether close to 20 years on the sports and entertainment side, and the two of them kind of melded together at some point where there was some crossover with certain clients like Rick Fox, who was doing both television and film and also on the sports side, on the basketball side. And, you know, it's funny, you and I had touched base last week, and I heard your interview with Kevin Singleton, and, you know, I was like a year or two behind Kevin and Chris, and you know, I think you know. I mean, this was before the internet, and
sure. Mm-hmm.
Kevin had his battle with leukemia while I was in school, and I didn't really understand the totality of it. I certainly knew how serious it was, but you know, didn't really know what he was going through at the time. And you know, living after college, living in Miami, and Chris came and played for the Dolphins, so we got to reconnect down here, but really didn't understand it. And then, you know, when I turned 30, so I'd been an agent for about 10 years and really turned the corner in the agent business and had clients in over 30 countries, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, I got diagnosed with the similar form of leukemia that Kevin had. And just like he did, I needed a bone marrow transplant to make it through. And so it's kind of interesting how life works. And if not for an anonymous bone marrow donor, I wouldn't be alive today. But going through that and being in an ICU off and on pretty much for a year, not knowing really if I were going to live or die, you know, changed my thought process on what industry I was in and whether I really wanted to do it going forward anymore. There were a lot of circumstances that came up, and you know, we see today, back then we didn't see it when I was, you know, getting into the industry and really before Arliss and Jerry Maguire and the internet, we didn't really see the public didn't really see the inside of the industry behind the scenes. But you know, I would say this, that you know, when I really looked around and had the time to reflect on the industry as a whole, really saw that I didn't want to be in it anymore. Really, I mean, I would say that Jerry Maguire is really the G-rated version of what goes on in the industry.
Sure, no, I got a sense of it when I had to call agents after seasons to get their take on their client and, you know, where they thought they'd be slotted. And I won't mention names, but they were often difficult to reach or didn't return calls, or some were very good. Some were very good at it, and some are, you know, part of the NBA now. It's very difficult. You get good ones and bad ones, just like in everything. So then you decided to what? To become what you're becoming now?
No, you know what? I mean, it's funny. I heard you and Kevin talking the other day about a book. And,
right.
You know, I've been working on a book for a little bit of time now because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, you know, and actually Steve Kerr and I had a conversation probably about 2 years after I got back on my feet. And
so this had to be about 16 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, not to go into too much detail, but you know, nobody should ever have to know what going through a bone marrow transplant is like.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, essentially, they kill you to bring you back alive. And you know, he said to me, I said, I don't know what I want to do. I mean, I don't want to do this anymore. And he said to me, you know, you're going through what every athlete goes through. You put your whole young life into becoming this. You know, I passed on law school because I couldn't do both at the same time and still was representing guys at the end of my junior year, you know, and really felt that if it didn't work out after 2 years, I'd go back to law school, and thankfully it worked out. But, you know, here I was at age 32 maybe and didn't want to do it anymore. And so, you know, I talked to Steve and some other friends and really just kind of, I won't say I had a midlife crisis, but really had to figure out what I was going to do with the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't an easy thing, Steve. I mean, it was understanding the relationships I had and where I could provide value and connecting dots and you know, of that nature. But I knew really, other than buying and selling my own property, really knew nothing about the real estate industry. And it really started just, I got my real estate license because me and my assistants, my staff, you know, we were doing a lot of heavy lifting, overseeing a lot of the real estate transactions for our clients, but we weren't getting paid anything for it. It was just part of our job, essentially, you know, in representing our clients and, you know, overseeing these transactions and dealing with realtors and developers. And so, you know, initially it was just a matter of getting my real estate license so we could get referral fees legally for the work that we were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after about 6 months, I realized, you know, once I started understanding the primarily the residential real estate brokerage model, how hyper-localized and franchised and fragmented it is, thought that if I could bring value to people in my position, whether they were sports and entertainment agents or business managers or family offices or wealth managers that had clients in different parts of the country that tended to invest in property or buy or sell or move, and they could call one number and not have to deal with 50 million different real estate agents around the country,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Then if they could get that seamless process and the same level of service and understanding of working with this type of clientele and really looking out for the client more so than churning a commission, then I could bring them value.
Yeah.
And that's really how it started.
We're going to go to break up, and then we'll talk more about your time here and then what you're doing now with those clients and things like that. Maybe mention a name or two if you can. So I'm Steve Rivera, and this is Eye on the Ball. We'll be right back. We'll talk to Darren Weiner after the break.
My dreams were clogged. I was really in despair.
Got plumbing problems? Call Picture Rock's Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Whether you have a leaky faucet, need a new water heater, or new plumbing construction, our qualified professional technicians can help you with your plumbing issues. Picture Rock's is family-owned and operated, and all our work is guaranteed. Call Picture Rock's Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing today at 440-4069 or picturerockscooling.com.
Picture Rock's Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing.
So let's talk about Shish Kebab House, but let's talk about my favorite thing, which, of course, is Molta Baba.
Oh, my God. That's delightful.
A lot of people have heard of Baba Ganoush,
yeah, it's
right?
The same thing. It's same thing, but some people, they add yogurt to it.
Right. Again, you guys have built up a great family business, making homemade food, a lot of love, and I rarely do endorsements on radio. As you know, I'm a believer. ShishKebabHouseAZ.com to check out the menu. Go to Shish Kebab House. Trust me, you will be very, very happy.
During the Civil War, it was called Soldier's Heart. After World War II, they called it Gross Stress Reaction. It's been called Shell Shock, War Neurosis, and Battle Fatigue. Today, we call it Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and it affects one out of every five warriors returning from battle in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's not a wound that you can see, though it can have an even more significant impact. Post-traumatic stress disorder can prevent warriors from living a normal life, hurt their relationships, and affect their ability to hold a steady job. The Wounded Warrior Project offers comfort and support for warriors with post-traumatic stress disorder and all other scars of war, whether those scars are visible or hidden. Find out what you can do to help, because for warriors, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. Please visit WoundedWarriorProject.org.
With an American Minute, here's Dr. John McElroy.
Is our form of government in the United States exceptional? It is. The exceptional feature of American government is this. The people of the states authorize and amend their constitutions of government. That exclusive power distinguishes America's republican constitutionalism from Britain's aristocratic form of government. In the United Kingdom, the members of the House of Commons are, quote, in power and can change Britain's constitution on their own authority. The U.S. Congress has no such power. In America, the people of the states are permanently in power. members of Congress are merely in office.
Hear weekly discussions on American history and culture on America's Fabric. Heard every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
Welcome back. I'm Steve Avera, and this is Eye on the Ball, and I'm talking with Darren Weiner, calling in from Miami. Tell me again. Tell me your name, your logo. I've said it a few times.
Jerry McGuire Real Estate.
Jerry McGuire Real Estate. Yes, yes. I don't know why I spaced that out. I'm getting old. You know that, Darren. You know that, Darren. I'm getting old. So you became who you become now after your situation with leukemia. Were you based in Miami then too?
I was.
So why Miami? Why there?
You know, Steve, I grew up in the Northeast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And after college, I have family on the East Coast. I was from Boston. I didn't want to move back to the cold weather. I loved it in Tucson and the weather out there, and had family in Florida, so I moved down here. And I've been down here since. So it's kind of a natural progression. But, you know, just kind of touching on what we were talking about before about the sports industry, I mean the sports agent industry, you know, one of the reasons why in going through what I went through with bone marrow transplant and fighting leukemia, you know, nearly 20 years ago now, you know, I realized that there are a lot of good people, a lot of great people out there. And, you know, I wouldn't be alive today if it weren't for so many, and so many that I'll never know. But going through that process, you know, I'll be, you know, fully transparent with you. One of the things that really changed my mindset was here I am in the hospital, and I got a call from an NBA client on the Chicago Bulls, and he called me up crying. And he said, "You're not going to die on me, are you?" And I said, "Of course not." Like, what, you know, I put on the brave face. I didn't know what was going to happen. But, you know, he told me that an agent had reached out to him, an agent that I knew very well, who I'd been at dinner with, who I'd been in Europe with, called him, and he was calling my other clients, telling them that I was about to die and that they should change and hire him. So,
oh, wow.
You know, that's kind of the nature of the beast.
Sure.
And, you know, so that's, you know, when I really looked around, it wasn't, you know, for me, it wasn't the long term anymore.
If I could change subjects and then come back, what do you make of the situation going on with Arizona? We just had an attorney on the last hour talking about just, you know, Book Richardson going for a plea instead of going to trial in April. But what do you make of the situation?
You know, I can't speak to his situation or what's going on with, you know, the other assistant coaches or the people who have been indicted. But, you know, I've known not well, but I've known Sean Miller, you know, from the time that he came through and he was on Pitt and they played in Tucson. Mm-hmm. They played at McHale. And always known him to be upstanding. It's nothing, you know, what I'm about to say isn't about him or anyone in particular. But, I mean, this type of stuff has gone on, you know, I mean, longer than I've been around this. I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, when, you know, my sophomore year, Chris Mills transferred in from Kentucky, right?
Yep.
And allegedly, and I, you know, I use that in air quotes, allegedly, you know, there was a scandal that went on where an overnight envelope package, you know, with a videotape was sent to his dad from the coaching staff. And, mm-hmm. you know, at LAX, supposedly it opened up with $1,000 cash in it.
Right.
I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, yeah. I think the only thing that's shocking to me is that the FBI is involved with it, and it's become such an issue, you know, so many years later.
Right.
But this is, I mean, I don't think it's anything new.
Right. No, that's, to be clear on the Chris Mills thing, the package came from Kentucky, and that's how he ended up at Arizona. He transferred from Kentucky, found his way to Lute after Lute had already recruited him out of L.A., out of the L.A. area. Yeah, no, it's, I agree with you. I mean, they made the movie Blue Chips for a reason. You've seen
Absolutely.
It before. You've seen it before.
Sure.
So now,
sure. I was actually, you know, the funny thing is, I was there with one of my clients was Ed Stokes, and
uh-huh.
Speaking of Chris, both Ed and Chris, and one of my other guys was Rick Fox back then. They were all of them were we were in Frankfort, Indiana, with Casey Schmidt, who was on Arizona at the time
sure.
too, and filming one of the games inside of Frankfort High School in Indiana four blue chips, so it's funny.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me now, you're doing what you do. Can you name some of the clients you have? And I'm sure the homes and all the real estate isn't exclusive just to South Florida.
No. It's like I said earlier, I mean, we're doing this
86
markets mm-hmm. across the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean, including Tucson, Phoenix, you know, L.A., all over. But and it's not just, you know, this is part of it, too. It's not just for athletes or celebrities or multimillionaires. You know, we work with anybody from, and legitimately, from 17 or 18-year-olds all the way up to some of the people on Forbes' richest list. So, you know, we primarily work with residential properties, you know, maybe depending on the market, typically $500,000 and above. Some of the more well-known clients, if you will, on the sports side that I could probably talk about. I mean, a lot of this, you know, we have confidentialities, NDAs that we sign, but of recent, it sold Chris Paul's home in L.A. for a record price per square foot about 2.5 months ago, mm-hmm. 3 months ago.
Yeah, I saw your photo with him on Facebook.
Yeah, right before the fire.
Right.
Calabasas. And then actually the funny thing is we just listed one of Steph Curry's homes. He has a home in Charlotte. And we listed that, I believe it was either this past Friday or Saturday, and already have two offers above asking price. So that'll go under contract hopefully, you know, pretty soon here. And I just left a property here in Miami that anyone who might follow hip-hop music would know, but it's owned by Brian Williams, who goes by the name of Birdman, who's the founder, co-founder of Cash Money Records. But people would probably identify him more with people he's worked with, Lil Wayne and DJ Khaled and Drake and Nicki Minaj. So mm-hmm. it's there's a recording studio in there, and it's interesting to see.
How do you find these guys?
You know, it's like, I guess, anything else. If you're around an industry long enough and you hopefully have a good reputation and do right by people, word gets around, deal with the same business managers and wealth
sure.
managers and attorneys and accountants. So, you know, it's a very small industry. So, if you're not doing a good job, if you're, you know, somehow cutting corners, word gets around much quicker on that end too. And people find themselves on the outs pretty quickly.
So you've been doing this, what, 15 years, 20 years? How long?
It's 13 years now.
13
so
years. So you were,
where,
you've
yeah,
been in
there was a period,
just,
like a 2-year overlap where I was still an agent
yeah.
and winding down my management practice.
So you've been doing it just as long as you were an agent. Do you miss being an agent at all? Although this probably gives you that same type of feel.
I don't miss it at all. And you know why? I think really after, you know, spending so much time on both sides of the fence, if you will, I think the reason why there's so much that goes on in, you know, not being specific, but so much that goes on in that sports agent world
yeah.
and why people think they use the term cutthroat. It's a numbers game. And, you know, there are only so many clients that are, or potential clients that agents can represent.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take the NBA, it's only 450 clients. You probably have more than 450 agents out there fighting for the same 30 first round picks every year.
Right.
And so, you know, in football, it's like 1,700 players. So it's the same thing. And it's, you know, with real estate, it touches everybody. Everybody has to live somewhere. They have to either rent or buy or sell. And, you know, so anybody theoretically could be a potential customer or client. And it just touches so many walks of life. They're never 2 days the same. And after, you know, almost doing it 20 years, the agent game got pretty old, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you did you work for somebody or work for yourself as an agent?
No, you know, that's a great question. I worked for myself, you know, being there at U of A. I mean, really, like you said earlier, I mean, it was the number one team in the country when I went there, my freshman year. And I got to see firsthand and being close with Sean Elliott and some of the other guys. I mean, I got to see agents come through my apartment and through the basketball office and financial advisors too. And I got to see it firsthand. I mean, I had agents and wealth managers trying to recruit me to work for them to try and get the guys off the team
yeah, sure.
as clients.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just didn't see anyone who really, and I'm not saying there aren't any, but I just at the time didn't see anyone who really seemed to be looking out for the best interests of, at the time they were my friends. So I felt that I could do a better job as long as I had the right legal team behind me and marketing team.
Right, right. Hey, let's. We're gonna go to break. You have more time to spend with me?
Sure.
I wanted to. We'll go to break, and I wanted to talk to you about maybe some of the biggest events you've been to, the funnest. But also, I wanted to talk to your time here and some of the best players, some of the best guys. Maybe a funny story or two that's clean, because there's been a time or two even that made my book that I had to kind of clean it up a little. You know, Brian Williams per se, that you would know. So let's go to break, John, and then we'll come back and talk more with Darren. Thanks.
My name is Andrew Reeby, Director of Admissions at Desert Christian Schools, and I would like to invite you to Take Flight Night, our high school admissions event. Take Flight Night is designed for 8th through 12th grade students and their families and will be held Thursday, January 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. Come and meet our faculty, learn about our outstanding academics, and see firsthand how we pursue excellence in Christian education. Desert Christian is a comprehensive preschool through 12th grade ACSI accredited school. To RSVP, visit desertchristian.org.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
Paralyzed veterans Sean Halstead and Noah Currier.
I was Air Force from 93 to 98. I got hurt practicing combat search and rescue, fell off a fast rope, so shattered L1 vertebrae. I don't know where I'd be without paralyzed veterans. I've only seen that now.
Unite through struggle, you know, that's what the Marine Corps and service is all about. You get tight and those bonds just get stronger and stronger the more you struggle together, and the harder the hardship. And I don't know if it gets any harder than being a quadriplegic, so, you know, we instantly bond.
Paralyzed Veterans of America is a nonprofit, and it gets no federal funding.
And we provide every service free of charge to every veteran and caregiver that we support.
Paralyzed Veteran and PVA Executive Director Sherman Gillums, Jr.
Every life, every success, every recovery, it's tied to the initial investment you've had in us.
To learn more, visit PVA.org, a public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Aw, you know kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
If she didn't want to be picked on, she shouldn't wear that thing on her head.
If he's going to dress that way, he's just asking for the extra attention.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a harmless rite of passage.
Don't validate. Eliminate. All students in Arizona deserve a safe learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Joe Thomas, president of the Arizona Education Association. It's up to us as educators, as parents, as adults, to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree, a message from the Arizona Education Association.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on Tucson.
And welcome back. I'm Steve Rivera, and this is Eye on the Ball, and I'm talking with Darren Weiner, the Jerry Maguire of real estate, not just in Miami, where is that, but all over. So who are the coolest, maybe not coolest, who are the guys or clients that kind of have you awestruck, maybe when you before you met them and now you know them?
Wow.
Because you've met some pretty big-time people. Like you were saying, you're an intern at the NBA office. You've done a lot of different things.
I would think it's funny. I mentioned earlier I grew up in Boston, and I grew up at a time where the Celtics were historically probably
the best
and arguably one of the best teams in that 85-86 era. And their rivalry was, or biggest rival at the time, other than the Lakers, was the Pistons. And I couldn't stand the Pistons. I mean, I despised Rick Mahorn and Bill Laimbeer and all those guys, except for John Sally, who was actually a friend of mine, and that's a whole nother story. But I got a chance to represent Rick Mahorn, and it was just one of those things where, you know, I learned this actually living with Wayne Womack. What I'm about to tell you is I learned from Wayne, saw it with Rick and with others, that there's a personality that comes across on TV or on the court or on the field that necessarily or not necessarily is what they really are.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's personality or whether it's a mindset. And so, you know, Wayne was and is, I mean, a terrific guy, great guy, but would always put on that
tough
face,
guy, that tough guy,
killer face. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Enforcer when he was on the court. And Rick Mahorn is the same way. And once we got to meet, I'll tell you a quick story. I was representing Rick Fox on some entertainment matters, including some movies and Oz on HBO. Anyway, we were in casting office in New York, casting agent's office in New York, and the waiting room couldn't have been any more than really like probably about 8 foot by 8 foot. And there were four seats in there. It was me and Rick Fox. And then all of a sudden walks in Rick Mahorn and his agent. And so we're sitting basically knees to knees. Didn't say a word. Not one of us said hello to each other. At that time, I didn't know Rick Mahorn at all. Just, you know, knew of him. And anyway, fast forward a year later, and I run into him. And, again, wasn't going to say anything to him. And he comes over to me, gives me a big bear hug. And I'm like, really? And so anyway, the point being is I ended up representing him later on, and one of the coolest guys in the world. And real funny story real quickly was, I was up in Detroit with him and his wife, and Monday Nitro, WCW Monday Nitro was in town. And, we got to go back behind the scenes and sit ringside. And all of a sudden during the commercial timeout, three of the wrestlers come out. The Pistons had a horrible season. It was right after the NBA regular season. And three of the guys come out with signs. Three of the wrestlers came out with signs. Where are the Pistons now? Like 16,000 people at the Palace are chanting. And Rick says, get on my shoulders. I was like, you're kidding. So get on my shoulders. And we ended up chicken fighting with two of the other guys. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah, very cool. I haven't seen or heard from Wayne Womack in forever. I know that he has a daughter that is pretty good in either volleyball or basketball. Is that correct?
You know, I haven't talked to Wayne in a long time. I don't know. I mean, you know, we were both real close with Sean Rooks.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too.
Away. Yeah.
How did that affect you? How did that affect you?
You know, it hit me hard. I mean, both he and Brian Williams were close friends during college, and then, you know, Wookie and I even got closer after college. And I'll never forget this. I mentioned earlier that I had, you know, interned for David Stern and for Steve Mills. Steve, again, is now the president of the Knicks. So the day that Sean passed away, the evening that he passed away, earlier that day, he was actually interviewing with Steve Mills at the Knicks to become an assistant coach.
Yeah.
And Steve texted me and said, we want to hire him. Not that I was representing him or anything. He said, we were just touching base. He said, I want to hire him. You know, he had a great day, great guy. Great interview. And then he took the train. My understanding is he took the train back to Philadelphia where he was living and then collapsed at the restaurant that night.
Because he was an assistant with Philadelphia right after that. I think he had just left them and then was going to look for a new job. Yeah, unfortunately. Very young man. And who didn't love Sean Rooks? Everybody loved Sean Rooks.
Unbelievable guy.
Yeah, yeah. Good kid. I was trying to get his son on the show. I'm still trying to. I know he's in the D League right now. But what are the shows? And talk real quick about Brian Williams. I know that Matt Othick was a very good close friend with him. He's told me a number of good, funny stories. I covered him with the Chicago Bulls when they had Steve Kerr and Jed Buchler and him, and they won. They won 97. I think it was 97 when Steve Kerr hit the shot in Game 6. So, you know, I found out more about Brian Williams. What a crazy, quotable guy.
Brian was such a good soul person. He, I think he was often misinterpreted, and, you know, I had the good fortune to represent a lot of athletes over the years, and many who were, if you want to say tall, you know, 6'8", 6'9", 7 foot taller. And unfortunately, I think some athletes, because of their size, are expected to excel and push, I won't say push, but end up going into a sport, if you will, that they don't love.
They don't have a huge interest in, correct.
And I think he was misinterpreted and misread because he had passions and interest in other areas where college students typically might not.
Right, and
at that time, I think now it's becoming more, not that I think, I know, it's becoming more acceptable when you have professional athletes that are taking more interest in business and arts and social causes and all of that. Whereas back then, if you weren't focused 24/7 on your sport and getting better and in the gym all night long or in the training room all night long, then you weren't committed.
Sure.
And I think that's where he was misread, where people might have interpreted it as that he wasn't fully committed when he was just a well-rounded person.
One of the guys that is that guy now is Andre Iguodala. Very business savvy, very bright guy. Thinks a lot now about his future. Not he's still playing basketball at a high level, but you know what I'm saying. Thinking about his future as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you know Andre?
I don't. I've talked with his. I don't want to say business manager. He's got like a friend of his that he works with on the startup and on the tech side, and we've had several discussions about it. But it's interesting. He's in a great area in the Bay Area for all of that too.
So you left in 91, 92. So then Arizona had a lot of success in 94 with Damon and Khalid, and then obviously the title game, national title in 97 with Simon and Dickerson and Jason Terry. Did you meet those guys eventually, and what did you think of them? Bibby.
Funny. So I never met Mike. Miles and I met several times. Jason and I never met, and actually we sold his home in Atlanta. So that's kind of funny. Dickerson I never met. Damon and I were in our pretty close. I mean, when I first got my real estate license, and it was about 07, 06, no, it was 06. And then the recession hit, and Damon was one of the first to call me, and he had a home in Memphis, and he said, "Hey, will you help me sell this?" So, we've always been close, and he's doing well. Glad to see him.
Very
coaching
well.
And
do you follow him on Instagram?
I do.
The man is a beast.
Joseph Blair, we're pretty close.
He's a beast. Damon Stoudamire is a beast. I can't believe, I say this on his Instagram, he makes me look silly. He's always working out, he's doing all these crazy things, and he's probably in the best shape of his life.
Absolutely. Looks it.
No, he does. And he's doing well at Pacific. I don't know what the record is, but he's doing well. He's going to be okay in the coaching business.
If UCLA knew what they were doing, they'd hire him.
don't tell them that. Don't
is
tell
that a
them
whole
that.
Another, a whole other subject I shouldn't go into.
Yeah, sure. UCLA with an Arizona guy. You know, Luke, they're already saying Luke needs to go to UCLA. That's not going to happen. Who knows? Do you know Luke Walton?
I don't. You know who's a great guy also? Two great guys. I'm very close with both of them still after all these years. Joe McClain.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Tony Clark, who, you know, only went there for maybe, I don't even know if it was a full year.
No, yeah, it was probably just a year. That was another one of those great guys who could play that didn't end up staying here.
Yeah, and now he's the head of the Major League Baseball Players Association. He's their executive director, doing well and living in New York. The one thing I always respected about Coach Olson, if you really look at it, just about every single one of the guys that he recruited over the years turned out they weren't just great basketball players or turned into or developed into great basketball players. They were all great guys.
Sure.
And he looked at that from the personality standpoint as much, if not more, than from the on-court of basketball side of it.
Sure. No, I know. You can just talk about the times you were here. You know, look at Harvey Mason, what he's accomplished. Craig McMillan's up, and we've had him on the show in Northern Cal. Sean Elliott, obviously, his career, and now he's on TV or radio. Steve Kerr goes without mentioning. He's done, you know, he can run for president. Who knows?
But you know what, Steve? The funny thing is, it's not really funny. I mean, it's just, it's I won't say it's hard to believe, but I remember being on campus for a freshman orientation right after Steve got drafted. And I had met with Coach Olson earlier that day, was at McHale, and was with my mother, and happened to walk and bump into Steve, just alone in the hallway in McHale in the bowels there. And he couldn't have been any more gracious coming off a Final Four appearance. And he is the same guy today,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. Sean is too, mm-hmm. that they were back then. And that says a lot.
Sure.
You know, and that's what I respect the most about not only them, but about Coach O also, was just the great character people that he had.
Yeah, no question. The one story, I have so many Steve Kerr stories after spending some time with him, but when he did his camp here in Tucson, he had, I don't know, 50, 75, maybe 100 kids at the camp, and he would take pictures with them on the first day and, you know, have them around, and by the end of the first day, he knew everybody's first name. Unbelievable, because he was that willing to make a commitment to his campers and show them a good time and show that he was, you know, one of them kind of. And he was, and he is. You know, to this day, I go to the games and watch him play and do stories. He always gracious in talking to me at length on my own. I mean, I haven't met any smarter guys than Steve Kerr.
Absolutely. And if you really think about where he came from and where he's at today in terms of, you know, I think he only had one other scholarship offer. I think it might have been from Long Beach or from one of the schools.
I think you're correct. And in my book, it was only one other one. I think it is Long Beach.
And, you know, and how he persevered and what he went through, unfortunately, with his father
mm-hmm.
passing
mm-hmm.
away and then tearing up his knee and, you know, just beating all the odds every which way you look at it.
And now he's getting more, he has more NBA titles than most.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, it was great talking to you. We got to do this
Likewise.
Again, maybe reminisce about the past. I always like talking about the past and what I like to call the good old days and the 80s, 90s or good old days, especially in the basketball program.
Definitely. It's great catching up, Steve.
Good luck to you. Hey, if anybody wanted to reach out to you and say hello and or they needed some of your services in Southern Arizona or otherwise, who would maybe listen to the podcast later, yeah, how can they find you?
Sure, thanks. Well, we're revamping our website right now. The best way to reach us would be, or reach me, would be at concierge@celebrityadvisors.com.
Yeah, I'm sure you get a lot of hits almost on the daily.
Yeah, but it's great. It's, you know, again, what I was saying about real estate, it touches everybody. And what we like to do is just connect dots and be able to provide value in all different ways, not just on the real estate side. So.
Right, right. Okay. And you're in 86 places, so you're not just
Absolutely.
You're not just over there in Miami. Okay, great. Darren, thanks for coming on. We'll talk again at some point.
Thanks, Steve. Be well.
Okay, thank you. That was Darren Weiner of Miami and the Jerry Maguire of real estate all over the country. Thanks. Good to meet him again or talk to him again from the 80s and 90s. And I haven't seen him in about 10 years, I think it is. We'll go to a break, John, and then come back and finish off today's show.
Hands of Hope Tucson is a Christ-centered organization promoting a culture of life, hope, and healing. We offer free services to women facing unplanned pregnancy, prevention services to youth and families, and recovery services to men and women struggling with an abortion experience. Hi, this is Elisa Medina, Executive Director of Hands of Hope. 87% of clients who have an ultrasound at our pregnancy center choose life for their babies. You can help us accomplish our life-saving mission through your 2018 tax credit donation. Hands of Hope is certified by the state of Arizona to receive contributions as a qualifying charitable organization. That means your gift does more than save lives. It gives you a dollar-for-dollar Arizona tax credit. This year, the state has allowed up to 400 filing as an individual and 800 filing jointly. More information is available at givehopetucson.com. Thank you, and may God bless you for your faithful partnership with Hands of Hope.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
Excuse me, I know you have a 9 o'clock, so I'll keep this short. I'm the business suit in the back of your closet. You wore me nearly every day before your office went, quote, casual. I used to be the CEO of your closet. Now I'm just that one intern no one ever talks to. I always thought you'd circle back with me, get granular, keep me in the pipeline. But nada, nothing. Don't you remember the McKittrick presentation? You spilled coffee on me, and I still looked amazing during the breakout talkback Q&A. So, I think it's time for me to move on. I've got a great resume, and I absolutely crush it in interviews, okay? Let's make this a clean break. Shift the paradigm. The only thing I ask is that you think outside the box here and do this. Take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on the arts.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. This is 1030 KVOI, Trusted News and Talk. Hey, that was fun for me to get back to talking to Darren Weiner. Long time friend, big time agent, now he's a big time real estate guy. Where a lot of the agents, or a lot of the clients are big time clients, famous clients. Did you notice he couldn't say very many names there, John? Because of confidentiality?
Yeah, I kind of noticed that. Interesting. I mean, they must be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you see his Facebook, you can kind of get a hint of who he hangs with out in Miami. Very top-notch clients. It's not surprising to me that he has all these clients, because back in the day when he was at U of A, he was always out there well-dressed as a 20-year-old and kind of proper and professional. Not a surprise at all that he's done so well.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great guy.
Yeah, he is. And non-flamboyant, just kind of there. Just a guy who just in the scene, not worrying to make a lot of noise, just kind of goes about his business.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to do some order here. We have some tickets for pizzas. I think we're going to give away two slices of pizzas. We'll have two of those. So if you want to be the first caller and the second caller, we'll give you two big slices each from Tino's Pizza. Just call in. Another thing, you call in at 790-2040. And I want to remind people who have won in the past and you have not picked up your prize, please come by and pick them up. We have a few still left that they have not picked up, and we don't want to kind of put them back in the system to hand out. We want to make sure you guys have called in and come and get them too. So there's a few of those. You guys know who you are because you haven't picked them up yet. But the first two callers, we'll get two big slices from Tino's Pizza, a great sponsor of mine, great friends, Dino Chonis and Sheila Chonis here in Tanque Verde. They're in Tanque Verde. That small place, but very fun place to go and have some great pizza. This is going to wrap up on almost another 2 hours of sports talk. I know we talked about the Arizona situation with Brooke Richardson and what it all means with attorney Michael Picaretta, one of the guys who I talk to every now and again when things like this arise. And now I just talked to Darren Weiner. Tomorrow we're going to have Pima administrator, former baseball coach at U of A, Jerry Stitt, and he's going to bring in George Audius. They have a big camp, or Stitt has a big camp this weekend. We'll talk more about that tomorrow with some famous ex-UA players and famous major leaguers. I'm not sure if they are current or former. I know so I know some are former. I don't know if they have any current ones. They're going to have a clinic at Pima, and I think it's Sunday. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. I'm pretty sure it's Sunday. And then we're going to have a player from U of A football, formerly of U of A football, Poindexter. He's going to come in and talk about his play this year, and he's going to play in a, I think, the Senior Bowl, or in a bowl game next week, to show what he's capable of doing among the seniors that just graduated or finished school. So we'll have him in for an hour, see what he's up to, see how it was playing for Kevin Sumlin as compared to Rich Rod, and maybe just get into, you know, his great rise. I mean, this guy had a fantastic year for U of A lot of pass catches. He was kind of like the number one target for Khalil Tate. So we'll see what he's up to as he gets ready for his journey into the real world of maybe professional football if he's lucky and good enough to play in it. He's a tall kid, obviously everyone knows that, but he didn't start playing football till later in life, and now here he is. A similar story back when I was still at the paper was Fendi Adaban, who just played basketball and felt he was good enough to play some football after not playing it, and played a little, maybe a cup of coffee or two in the NFL, made some practice squad teams. I should try to find out what he's up to now and maybe get him on the show, because he was another one of those good guys, unassuming guys, just casual guys, built like a tight end, became a tight end. One of those good guys that I like talking to. He was in the Lute Olson era / Kevin O'Neill era when it was all said and done. So here we go. John, are you here tomorrow?
I'm not. Tom will be in. He knows something about sports.
He does something about sports. Okay, that's good. That's good to know. But you'll be back later in the week, correct?
I'll be back Thursday.
Okay, yeah, good, good. I hope I haven't bored you in the last couple of days.
Not at all. In fact, I've quite enjoyed it.
Oh, good, good. Because yeah, it's not about sports.
No, it's about people.
It's about people.
I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, great, cool, great. Well, good to have you, John, for the second straight day. We'll see you again Thursday, and we're going to talk more sports tomorrow with a good cast of characters coming in studio, so it should be fun in terms of talking about what they're doing and what they're up to. Thanks a bunch, everybody, for listening, and have a good rest of the Tuesday.